Right, we're at the home of Mr. and Mrs. Tremere, and it's the 16th of November 1999, and it's Keith Howard and Kate Osborne, and we're going to be talking to Mr. Tremere and Mrs. Tremere about their recollections of Chudley. Now, tell me again about what you were just saying then.
But I've just been saying.
Yeah, say again.
My father lived at 74 Fort Street, Chudley, then by the Globe, all right?
Yep.
And if as you look down the courtway, you can see the house in front of you. And behind that was stables and sheds, which he kept his horses and the cart, which he used to do the railway work with. And there was also a blacksmith shop down there, which used to do the shoeing of the horses. And my father used to run the horse and cart up and down from the station to meet the, as I said, deliver all the goods to the different shops. And in the summer, when Kelly's used to live, and well, you know Kelly's, when Kelly's used to have the sweet shop there, he used to go down and meet the first train in the morning from Exeter to pick up a big block of ice and bring up to Chudley for making his ice cream, all right? Mm-hmm. And that used to be once a week he used to do this, once a week for that. And in fact, in the end, the old mule used to know her way up and down that station and all its stops. In fact, one day, Father, when he was in the station and doing the, making his books out and papers out for the delivering, the old mule got tired and got fed up and came up through the town and done all the stops and stopped outside of the World Storage, which was, as I say, is where the fruit shop is now. That used to be the World Stores. And then it's all a bit further. And another thing is, in those days, that was way after the first war, this is about the first war, Chudley Road was a dirt road. It was nothing else but dirt road. And Father used to, in the summer, he used to get his the mule and come up here to Old Exeter Street. There used to be a big pub up there, and used to fill his water cart up and go down and water all the streets to keep the dust down from the streets. And then there's another one that, next to Kelly's, in the, which is the, what do you call it, the Chinese takeaway now. That was Oakham's. And Oakham used to do the paper. Used to do the South Devon Weekly Express. Have you got that? And that one there used to be sent away to all over the world. In fact, it used to be sent to me when I was in the Navy, whilst I was out in the Mediterranean, also out to Colombo during the war when I was on the ships out there. And that's where that used to come. And then when I was 12, I used to work for Oakham's, and I used to go down with Poulsen's when they was in the paper shop, go down and meet the first train in the morning and sort out what papers I wanted to deliver to the big houses on the way up to school and deliver these papers before I went to school. And used to do that, as I say, 6 days a week. 6 days a week, and I used to get 3 shillings a week. That was my pay. And
I was going to say, tell me a moment. We've got lots of pictures of the railway station. We know what they look like. Can you describe to me what it was like, the railway station? Who was working there? What was going on?
Well, Brooking was the station master.
Brooking was the station master.
When would that be, sort of?
Let me see. That was I was born 1913, and he'd be 19. Oh, must have been. He must have been there then. I think he may have been a couple of years. May have been a couple of years. Maybe, but say it was about the 19th. I can remember when I was about six, and Brookham was the station master then, and he used to live down here in Old Exeter Street.
Bay Cottage.
Where was
the Averys lived.
That's right. Used to live in there, and then there used to be two porters, and that, and then there used to be a good shed further along, where the goods trains come down, say about 11 o'clock, and with all the goods and that, like, you know, and in fact. It was during the war, the first war, man, he says, all right, after, it must have been the end of, because I was born in 13, and I can just remember being that house next door to where the fruit shop is now, that was, go on.
The convalescent
home.
Is that Alpha? The house called Alpha?
That was a convalescent home.
Oh, I don't know what it's called. It's next door to the...
It used to be Martin stick it on. Yeah, Martin stick that over after, and that was the...
But it used to be a convalescent home for
that's
the
right.
soldiers. My grandfather...
That was during the First War, right? And... Of course, Father used to have these horse and carts, and he used to have a wagonette. And in fact, he used to go out to Eastfield then and pick up the soldiers and bring them to Chudley for the convalescents.
Well, Grandad was one of the orderlies down there, when Swanston over on top of the hill, where there used to be two people lived there. Of course, the Miss Forbes. Ethel Forbes and Mary Forbes. And of course they knew my grandfather had been in the Metropolitan Police in London, and of course he'd retired back here, and of course they came up and asked him if he'd be one of the orderlies down at the hospital.
Do you remember the hospital at all?
No, I don't remember it. No. But my grandfather was born in Chudley. He was born in New Exeter Street. I think it was either 13 or 14 New Exeter Street. So of course, when he retired from London, he wanted to come back. So.
Do you remember things he told you about Chudley?
Well, not a lot. Not a lot, because Grandad never sort of wanted to live in the past, you know? Because then when they came back, they lived at 42 in New Exeter Street. And that was when Leaders had the garage then, before Taylors took it over.
So what other deliveries and things used to happen around the station area?
Well, I can tell you that.
Well,
when it was Sunday school outings, have they told you about that? When we used to have a Sunday school outing, I used to go to the congregational then. And the train used to wait for all we kids, because Charlie Gill, George Gill's father, had a large cart, horse and cart. And they used to take us kids down to get on the train down, and, you know, to take us to Tynmouth for the outings. And then when I had Shirley, my eldest daughter, and she was only laughing about it the other day, I could go down, and when I got so far as the farm where Picards were, I used to wave my hand to the driver, you know, engine driver, and he'd wait for me to get down to the train and push the pushchair right onto the train. It was really... And if you finish now, should I start now?
Oh, you can do if you want. You can. Yeah, I got plenty more to go on with, but go on.
Go on, Swanwood. You finish it.
Churches. That's one thing I was told to mention. how many churches we had here. You've heard that, I expect, have you? The Catholic, the Congregational, and our church, the Baptist, and the Gospel Hall. And most of them, I don't know about the Catholic ones, but the others, we all had different meetings. I mean, the children today complain of nothing going on. Well, when we were young, we had the Young Harvesters, which was in the church hall in Newcots, as it was called then. We had a church hall there. And in the summer, we used to play tennis down on the vicarage lawn, because it used to be the vicar's son, David Harris, used to run that. Well, then we had the Young Britons over at the Conservative Club, and a Rose Shinner, her parents were, what did you call them? Run, you know, they were, what did you call them?
Group leaders?
No, yeah. No, ran the pub, ran the club. They Stewart. Were stewards. Yeah. Well, this was their daughter, and they used to get up concerts to raise money for the club. And that was called the Young Britons. And then in the summer, well, when it was Empire Day, we used to have an Empire Parade over on the lawn at Sir George Hammock's. You know, the big house on the opposite side of the road.
When would this be?
Oh, I was about 11, 12. God knows. I was born in 1921, and I was 11 when we came out here.
So the 30s.
Yeah, but it would be the beginning of the 30s, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. And then we used to have, that was at the Young Harvesters. Then we had the Band of Hope in the Congregational Hall. And Reverend Spry used to run that.
What did the Band of Hope do?
Well, it was a kind of a young people's meeting. It wasn't all religion, but he used to show us lantern
slides, wasn't it?
Lantern pictures.
He'd have a lantern slide.
And it was ever so interesting, you know. And then they used to tell us all the stories. Well, religious, some of it, you know, and some of it wasn't. But I mean, there was something going on nearly every night, like at all the different things. And then down at the Gospel Hall, they had a children's thing going on.
So most of the entertainment was sort of provided by the church?
Mm. Well, it was by the different churches, you know. Because, I mean, you see, the Young Harvesters was to do with the Church of England. Well, then the Band of Hope was the Congregational. I forget what they called it down at the Young... What's it called?
The...
Take...
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Gin.
I forget what they called it down at the Gospel Hall. And then what else was it? Oh, and then have they told you about poor old Reg Peters showing people through the caves? Oh, yeah. Poor old boy.
Yeah, the Reg Peters. Yeah. Yeah. He used to go in the caves, yeah.
You know, we used to have the coach trips.
They used to come up from Torquay, wasn't it, mostly?
Who?
The people who used to come from Torquay, there used to be, and the Palace Farm down there used to have tea parties there, like, you know.
Well, they came to see the caves, we're talking about.
Yes, and then they'd come down and they'd take the people up to the caves, like, you know.
You had a candle.
And candles.
And you used to charge a penny to take people through the caves. Well, then they usually used to go back to the palace
for tea and have tea
in the field there where the houses are now for their picnic tea.
And it's just swings and all they used to come up from Torquay schools, didn't they?
From all over the place.
But there used to be special parties come up from over the places.
Did you ever go? Did he show you around the
place? Yeah, and went in there, yeah. And there's just inside the cave, on your right, you could pick it out. It was what he called the Pope's Head. And you could see, like, the two eyes and the nose and that. You know, you use your bit of imagination. But, and then you could go right through. You know,
you're not a lady in there now.
No. Go right through and out the other end. It was ever so interesting. And then, of course, kids used to go in there and they used to make noises to try and frighten you, you know.
Were you allowed down there without a guide at the time?
Could you yes. Yeah, I mean, you go down to the rocks and you could climb down over.
Oh, yeah.
You go down, and that used to take you down to...
There used to be the waterfalls and all down there.
Yeah.
But...
You know, we went down, of course, you can't go, as I say, you can't go through the caves now.
You can't go through, I don't think you can get up there now.
Yes, you can. You can go down and you can pass it. It's all done up with corrugated iron now. I don't know if you've seen it. But then we went down to the waterfalls. You know, you could go down there swimming in the river.
I did, but,
yeah, it used to be really interesting. I mean, we used to love it and go down the rocks on a Sunday, you know.
While we're describing what Chubby was like, one or two of the people who have we've recorded have described as they've sort of gone in a full circle about how they can remember the shops and things in Chudley. Can you describe?
Yeah, I can remember Bonnie Lear.
Bonnie Lear, yeah.
Bonnie Lear? Oh, yes. Oh, mind you, it used to be lovely bread. Karen and her mother used to make it. In the shop on the corner of Pottery...
Pottery Court.
Yeah, yes, where they got all these instruments in there, isn't it?
Not the estate agent side, the other side.
Yeah.
And they used to make this bread. It was only bread that they used to do. And then the daughter had a pushchair, and it was sort of fitted, and she had a big basket fitted in this pushchair, and she had a... It was nearly always dark when the poor old soul came out with the bread, and she had like a cycle lamp on the front. Yeah, which used to smell lovely, her bread.
Why did she have a cycle lamp?
How they used to cook it? They used to have a open fire, put a fire in the oven, and make the oven out, and then put the bread in after.
Pull the bread out from the open shop with the back windows.
That's right.
And another thing we used to do, because when I came out here, I went to what we called the top school over here. Mr. Barnicote was the headmaster, and then we had Miss Bailey and Mabel Edwards were the teachers there. This is the thing I think that should be carried on. Armistice Day, we, the senior ones, because I mean we went up there until they were 14 then, you see.
Was this the council school?
Yeah. And the church school. Mm-hmm. They both took part in it. We used to walk down to the war memorial, and the top school, as we called it, used to stand down John Taylor's side. Church school children used to march up and be the other side, the quap side. And Mr. Barnicote used to play the harmonium. And we used to have a service there in remembrance. But you see, they don't do that now, do they? And I can't think who it was used to blow the trumpet or...
Jack Elson used to, when I remember it. What happened when they first had the first armistice? The people were all paraded along the street then, and instead of having these bugles, someone had a firework and lit the firework for the 2 minutes silence, and there must have been a soldier there, who'd come out from the war, and it made him scream and shout, like, you know. He was shell shocked. And whether they were seven, after that, they always sounded the bugle. But that was the first time, that was the very first time they had the remembrance. And they, as I say, they did a firework, and this firework made this broke.
But they used to, that was the 2 minute silence, you see. But I mean, they don't do that now, do they? And I think, of course, I suppose there again, they'll say it's the traffic, because of the traffic coming there. But I mean, it made us think about it in those days.
It's closer to home then, isn't it? You see, we're talking about the bakery. Mm-hmm. Can you remember in your mind's eye what, if we sort of go around the town, what was the next shop along? Can you recall at all?
Yeah, well, it was the Co-op. Yeah.
The Co-op. I used to work in the Co-op, in the bakers.
Oh, right.
Yeah. When they had the bakers there, you used to start in the morning, but then bake the bread, and then... And when the first batch was put in the oven, I used to go home and have my breakfast, come back, and used to get the bread out. And they used to have great big bread carts in them days. And the bread used to be put in this bread cart, and I used to have to take it around the town, delivering it to the shops. There was another one as well, where the other baker's shop is. Mm-hmm. Germans were there then. And Tuckett was... He used to deliver the bread for Tuckett's, and he used to have a big one of these bread carts as well. So there was the two of us going around the town, delivering the bread in these bread carts. And then I used to have to go up again 7 o'clock in the night and make the dough for the next morning. And I used to get 23 shillings a week for that, and I was 20 then. And they told me. When I was due for 21, they said, you'd be due for men's pay, but the job isn't worth men's pay. You can either get another job, or else you can stay on the same job for the same money. Well, that's when I joined the Navy. Yeah, so I joined the Navy, and I'd done me full time in the Navy.
They've got a tennis course at the bottom of the Co-op. And the other day I was in
and
there.
This.
The other day I was in there, and I forget what was brought up, something, and I said to the manager, "Have you still got the tennis court down the bottom?" "Oh yes," he said, "but it's all overgrown." "Good Lord," I said, it was a lovely tennis court, because I was friendly with the manager's daughter, and we used to go down there and play tennis. And so the manager said, "Oh," he said, "you don't want an oven, do you?" I said, "No, thank you." He said, "Oh," he said, "only the oven's still out there." Well, then there used to be another baker's next to the Co-op called Sanders.
There's been three or four bakers you in Chudley in them days.
Yeah, well.
Again, are we talking about the 30s?
Yeah. Between the 30 and the 40 before the That's war broke out. Yeah. But then it was the same with the dairies. I mean, you had Miss Ellis at the top of New Exeter Street, then you had Taverners, then you had Southwards in New Exeter Street. Well, then you had at Haywards, where the vet is now. Yeah. Then you had Martin's.
That's right.
And then we had Polly Endicott in Clifford Street. Then there was a farmer who used to come round from Lynham called Hopkins with a horse and trap. And then, of course, Hill started coming round as well with their horse and trap. When any of the girls wanted a break, because they used to deliver the milk in cans, you know, and you carry the cans around, I used to... fill in for them. We used to have to walk all down to Rock House, which was a hotel then, with these cans of milk, and over to Ellicombe's in Rocklands and Mitchamore's. We used to carry the milk in these cans, and then they used to have the jugs there ready to put put the milk out in.
Was this sort of pocket money jobs or?
Oh yeah, well, sixpence. Yeah. Used to have sixpence.
Yeah. Was that a lot then?
Well, it was really, because then we used to go down to poor old Mrs. Holcomb, who had a sweet shop.
Oh, Granny Holcomb's, yeah.
Granny Holcomb's, yeah.
Let's go on.
Yeah. He was talking about, it was really Henley's, the sweet shop.
Henley's, yeah.
Yeah, Henley's.
Right. Yes.
These milk cans, how much did they hold?
Could carry up to about a pint and a half, some had a quart. Mm-hmm. And we used to have
different size cans.
On your fingers, you know. But then you see, I mean, taverners used to drive their cows through the streets.
Through the town, that's right. And Martins.
And so did Southwards.
Martins.
Yeah, well, Martins didn't do it so much because they used to milk down the bottom of the farm.
It sounds incredibly busy. You've got cows, carts. Yeah. People say it used to be quieter in them days, but it didn't sound like it was.
Yeah, I mean, we used to have sheep coming through the town.
Yes, yeah.
Kids used to run and stand across the openings to stop the sheep from going down.
Yeah.
And we used to go down and watch Sanders dipping the sheep. You know that opening beside the chemist? Where there used to be houses, little cottages down there, and Sanders's had their dipping place down the bottom, and we were very often late for school because we used to nip down there and watch them tipping the sheep before we went up to school.
At least you had time for school with all this going on.
Yeah, I can remember when the Wimpy's relayed the road through Chudley. That must have been 11 then. It'd just be, well, my father died, and then my sister then had doing father's work, delivering the stuff up from the town. And yeah, my sister used to do it, and I was 11 when father died, and then there was two boys younger than me.
But then I remember, well, even my eldest daughter said about it. She's, because I said, when he was on about the ice coming up, you know, to Henley's. Well, Mr. Henley, when we used to have a cricket fortnight,
that's right.
He used to take the cart, the ice cream cart, down to the cricket field. Well, then when he finished, the kids, and even back when Shirley was young, used to help the poor old man push it up the hill. And when we got up the top, if he had quite a bit of ice cream left, we'd have a penny cornet. But if he didn't have much ice cream, we used to have a halfpenny corn for helping him push the thing up the hill, you know.
So, I mean, Chudley was a town of much ice cream. Because there was Hellier's as well.
Yeah, well, Hellier's came, well, more or less after Henley's, wasn't it? Because there was Henley, and then there was Heels.
Yeah. Henley's, that's right.
Heels came into the shop after Mr. Henley left.
Yeah, that's right.
And then Martin's took over, but it was more or less Hellier's, I think, if I remember rightly, that did the ice cream, and Robin's mother used to help down in the big house,
that's right.
Yeah, down here.
Yeah,
and we always used to go down, because Robin's laughed about, we always used to manage to go down, Mum and I, because my mum was always friendly with Dora, his mother, used to go down there when she was there, because we used to get a bigger ice cream and bigger cream on the top. That's why, you know, we're all sort of interlocked with the family and that, because my mother was always friendly with his mother and that, you know. And my brother used to go down to the farm down at
what was your brother's name?
Taylor, Bob Taylor, but of course he's gone now.
So. My people lived there for years. In fact, they had a farm out at the Potts Hills. At the Potts Hills. Well, that's all gone, fallen down now. There is a bit of a wreck out there, but that's where my father's parents were out there. They used to live out there, like. Yeah.
But
just been to Chudley for years, like, you know.
But Chudley isn't the same as it used to be years ago. It's not so friendly. I mean, I know you're both newcomers, aren't you?
Yes.
I mean, even when people have lived here 30 years, we still call them newcomers. You know, I mean, we go down the town, and if we see half a dozen Chudley people...
We think yourself lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a man said to me the other day, "Oh, Muriel, it's nice to see somebody I know," he said. I said, "Why is it you come up the town now?" He said, "You don't see it. I won't say it. Soul," he said, that you know. And I said, "Well, no, it's quite true." You know, I mean, when you think about the Congregational Church is gone.
Baptist.
The Abbey's gone, the convent.
The Baptist.
Well, there's a room over here.
Oh, well, they got the room there, but the old Abbey,
the
old Baptist.
But the old Baptist church is gone. You know, there doesn't seem to be anything here now to hold the people together. Only the church over there.
I mean, there used to be heaps of butchers near, didn't there, as well?
Yeah.
The number of butchers that was here.
Yeah, there was Sanders's.
Don't talk to me about Sanders's. So.
He's a
slave driver.
About,
he was a slave driver. He was, honest.
Yeah, but you mustn't say that, because he's...
He was a slave driver there, he was, honest.
That's the old man.
I wasn't old enough really to go to work, but I used to have to go up there before I went to school, and when I come out after school, I used to go up there, and then I'd be up there all day Saturdays and working, and you know, one day I asked him if I could have the afternoon off, because the school wanted me to play football, and he said, "No, you can't go." And mother, I went down and told mother, and she said, "You go, son." But after that, they didn't want me again. They would take me. And all I used to get was a dump of meat at the end of the week for working like it. I used to have to go up to the slaughterhouse. You know the slaughterhouse up at Woodbury Street? You know, with those houses now that's just been converted. That was the slaughterhouse. That was Sandra's slaughterhouse up there. And he used to do all his killing up there, and I used to, as a kid, he'd go up there and he'd kill a bullock, and he'd take the skin off and put it in one of these great big wooden wheelbarrows with one wheel in front. All I could do to lift the wheelbarrow, lift it, and he said to take it from there over to the shop over there. And it took me all my time to do that. It used to, honestly. And they used to go up there every night and that. And they even used to go up there scrubbing the floors up in the shop. Honestly.
Well, anyway,
he was a proper slave driver.
Tom Cornish, where the estate agent is. Now, you know what he calls Dingo's father. You know, it was his father. Well, then there was Cobley's.
Yeah.
Then there was Cornish, the poor old Paul, that's still going. Then down where the chemist is now, there used to be two butchers there, because it'd be
the Eastmans and Eastmans.
Eastmans and Pax.
And Pax.
Well, Pax used to kill their own meat.
They used to have a store behind them.
Cornish is up New Exeter Street, used to kill
their own meat. Yeah,
used to
kill all of them.
They all used to kill their own meat.
Own meat.
Yeah, you should see them driving the cattle in that one day.
In the back, right?
Dingo's father had got a bullock to go up the yard, you know, at the side of the shop there. and they must have smelt the blood or something, and he turned round and he raced all over the town. There was all the kids trying to chase this bullock back. We used to have some fun, you know. I mean, there was a certain lady lived down the road. There were several of us. Bunky Caunter was one of them, Horace Caunter. He was one of them, and I reminded him of it back a lot, because we were all kids just together. There was an old woman lived down the road, and we used to go up and tie black cotton on her knocker. And we used to let it, well, I'm telling the police, we used to go up around, and where the home is now, there used to be people in there called Shapley.
Builders.
And we used to creep in around there with this reel of cotton. And we used to lift this cotton so as it would knock on the door. And when we heard her opening the door, of course, we let more cotton out so it wouldn't break it and she wouldn't see it. And then she'd go in again. And then, of course, we'd do it again. But that's what we used to have to do, you know, to make a bit of fun. And in those days, I mean, the kids were, I'm telling him, afraid of the police.
They were.
I mean, there used to be a policeman here called Blamey. Has anybody told you?
He used to be allowed to, he's turning smack here.
Yeah.
We used give to you say, a good old biff across the ear.
Used to be the sergeant, used to live down here, down the road, just down here. Used to be the sergeant's house. And then there used to be an office, and perhaps if he caught anybody, there was like a little place up at the behind, like in the court. But Blamey was the one, he was the...
But I mean, used to get this cane at school, and yeah. I mean, I can remember I used to be in the choir over here, and of course there used to be quite of us there, and this was choir practice night, and the trouble was we always used to play up with this choir master. He was one of the best blokes that really was for us. Yet we used to play him up, right, you know. And anyway, this night, instead of the choir master, it was the schoolmaster we jumped right on, like, you know. And made us all up the next day at school. And the vicar was there as well. And we was all lined up in front of the class, bent over. We all had three stripes across the backside.
So you got cane then?
You know, I mean, there you go. Yeah, say this choir master, he used to get us a trip into Exeter, into the Panto, every Christmas time. And yet, I would say we used to, you know, take the mickey out of him. Of course, one day we was up there in choir practice and they was taking the mickey out of him, and he, of course, he happened to swear, I think, and the vicar was down below and heard him, I think, and that's why he got the sack. Poor old devil.
So how did you get into Exeter for the pantomime? What transport did you have?
I forget now.
What we used to call a charabang in those days, and the dad
hard maybe not. I forget. There used to be about a dozen of us, I think. Mm. Yeah, there must have been. I can't quite think of who they used to win.
Oh, no, but
I can remember Father. We used to have a horse and wagonette. And a half day's trip, we went on a half day's trip, and we went out to Hator. And we had to walk most of the way when we got out there, like when you come to the hills, like all get out and walk behind you, right, behind the cart, and went up there and had tea, and then turn around and come back again. That was an half day's trip, like, taking all the family out. when it was Father's birthday, when he was 50, we had a car then, which was culture, and, you know, to be a car in them days, like, you know. And we went all over the moors, right down to Plymouth, and went the day out then, and then had dinner on the moors, then went on down to Plymouth and had tea, then and then back the main road to Plymouth, and that was Father's 50th birthday.
So, what school did you go to?
You went down the bottom. You went down the bottom.
I went to the school, and well, of course, where I lived down the bottom, the school was right next door. I never used to go down the main way. I was just jumping over the wall, going over the wall to school.
Is that down near the station?
No, down here.
Down the bottom, the school, in the car park. Of course, the school, this entrance was down there by the other side of Globe, actually, in them days. See, but back down the back there, was a wall, just, and I used to just jumping over the wall. In fact, I went in the other day and had a look, and it's all altered down there. In fact, there's a tree down there now that I used to pinch the apples off, and I had to look at it the other day, and there was still heaps of apples on it. It was swarming with apples. And that tree must be, well, as I say, I bet it's over 100 years old. Must be.
What was the difference between the top school, the council school, and the bottom school?
There was a church. It used to be known as the church school.
The bottom school was.
Yeah.
And
used to be the church school, and that used to be the
council
school.
But we always had more past 11 past.
Oh yeah, go on. I know.
At the top, then you were locked in.
Yeah.
So where was your school? I'm not clear in my mind.
Over here, where the flats are now,
where the Baptist church.
Well, of course, it's at the back of that. There's a bell outside. That's it.
Yeah.
That's where ours. That was our school.
You know, so that school in there now, there used to be gardens up at the back, and boys used to go up there and do the garden. All had a bit of garden and used to do all the gardenings up in the back. That should be part of the school work in there.
You used to do that?
Yeah. You used to go up there and gardening up there, right, you know. You'd go up there as kids
what
in the old
own
patches. Eh? All sorts. Well, all sorts. There used to be peas and beans and carrots and all that, like, you know, all do it a row each, like, you know, and so you had the best, you know. But of course, it was all provided for, that was all provided by the school, like, you know. Yeah.
Do you remember your school teachers?
Oh, yeah, the schoolmaster was
Jimmy Webber.
I'm afraid that was a He wasn't very interested in. All he was interested in was football, sport.
Sport, yeah, not education.
Used to be up there. Boys used to be up there playing football and that, like, you know. The one teacher that was any good there was Mrs. Elworthy. She was called. She was a real good teacher. Whilst I was under in there. Then, of course, there's Miss Robinson, wasn't it?
Mary Robinson.
Of course, that's where the trouble was. Jimmy Webber and Mary Robinson. I won't say no more, but there was, you know, he was a married man.
Of course he was. He had a daughter. He had a
married
son
man and his son. And they used to live in his wife and son. They used to live in the house down there, in the schoolyard. Like, you know, the house.
The blue door.
They lived in that house. Yeah. And they used to go, many a time used to go in there playing football of the evening. Like, you know,
yeah. They always used to. They were always jealous of our lot because we used to get three or four. Through, you know, 11 plus into grammar.
I think there was taught more lessons up there than what I found that out after when I joined the Navy, like, I think I learnt more whilst I was in the Navy than what I did whilst I was at school.
How long were you in the Navy for?
I don't mean 22 years.
Right.
I done me full time in the Navy. Finished up as a petty officer. Petty officer, first class gunner.
Right. And then you came back, retired back to Chudley?
And then I come back to Chudley and then I worked out at the concrete works.
Oh, right.
And when the concrete works was out there. And I'd done
19 years
out there. And then, of course, got made redundant. I was 64 then. Got made redundant when I was 64.
We lived at the old Elms then, up the top of the...
That was the Elms,
you,
yeah.
You know, where they got the flats now, we lived up there. Because we've been married 55 years next week.
Congratulations.
Can I just take you back to the school?
Yeah.
You say you had a high proportion of pupils went and passed the levels. Mm. Where did they go? What school were they?
Grammar school at Newton Abbott, when they had the proper... When it was the proper Newton Abbott Grammar School, they used to go in there.
Right.
By bus, you know, we used to get the bus in the morning. Well, we had to, when they first started doing cookery, we used to have to go to Tynmouth from here, and we had to get a bus from here to Newton Abbott, and then from Newton Abbott to Tynmouth to go to class.
Yeah.
The cookery classes.
You didn't go down there with the opposite 74, did you? Were you in what was the territorial? It belongs to the Global Tell now. They got it as an entertainment place, but it used to belong to the territorial army. This was in the First War and after the First War, it was a territorial army, and they had a shooting gallery and all down there, like, and the army and everything. And on top, they used to have cookery classes for the schools there, up there. Well, you don't remember that, do you?
No, we went to Tynmouth.
and they used to have they used to be up on the top floor, and then they had a chute coming out one of the windows for the girls to escape if there was fire. That was a fire escape, that was. And of course they went to practice it one day, and they let one girl down there, and of course in time telling her to force her arms out, she would just go in and come straight down through, and lucky didn't hurt herself. She would have people down at the bottom was able to tip the end up and stop her from hitting the bottom, you know. But I always remember that, seeing them from then, because that must have been when I was living down in 74 then. That must have been when I was first in there. Yeah, it's when I was living down there.
So the children didn't go to Newton Abbott, which school did they go?
They finished. They stayed on at the schools till they were 14 and then left when they were 14. But of course, because I was 11 when I came out here, because I used to go to St Wilfrid's school in Exeter, and of course, because I was 11 when I came out here, I was too old to take the 11 plus, so I had to stay on up there until I was 14. But I always used to get on with all of them all right, you know. But there again, you see, most of them that I went to school with, they're nearly all gone.
And when I left school, I was 14, and Mrs. Evans used to have an off licence. I don't know whether you know about that. There's the Bishop Lacey, you know the Bishop Lacey. Well, the house next door, the Bishop Lacey's taken it over. That used to be Evans's off licence.
There
used to be an off licence there, and I used to work in there, and used to have a three wheel barrel. One way in the front, two at the back, and used to have wines and spirits on that, and used to take them round to all the big houses here in Chudley, push that one round, push it up to White Way House, Harcombe House, out to Upbrook, down the station to all them big houses down there, delivering wines and spirits, like, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, but you see, in those days,
Now I used to get 10 shillings a week.
We could go down to the butchers or the grocers, and you put your order in, and you'd pay for what you wanted, like meat, for instance. I mean, we hadn't got any fridges then. Pay for your meat, order it, and then the butcher boys would deliver it on a Saturday morning. The same with groceries. I mean, you'd go in and you'd hand in your list to what you wanted, and then they would deliver it, and then you would pay when they brought it back.
So you shopped on a daily basis, more or less?
Well,
I'll tell you what you might be interested in.
For the weekend, but I mean, we used to be able to go down and get you things then, because I mean, where now? I mean, there's only the Co-op, well, and there's a shop over the town, I suppose. But I mean, there used to be John Marshall's people. I mean, they kept the groceries down there where the pet shop is now. Well, when I first came, it used to be a baker shop. Satterley's used to have it, and they used to do it. So as Easter, when it was Good Friday, you'd get down there ever so early in the morning, and the first ones down there would get an Easter egg, a little Easter egg, the first one to get down there for your hot cross buns. Used to be a queue of us outside the shop waiting for them to get this hot cross, the Easter egg for your hot cross buns.
Yeah, well, whatever you saved in can be out in the globe.
Hold on just a moment. Which is big, I'll say that again.
We used to have a person live down here called Loose Can.
Yeah.
And she used to make beautiful hog's pudding. And during the war, instead of putting all the meat and everything in the hog's pudding, because her husband used to go into Newton Market, you see, and bring home
The pigs in words.
And all the rest of it, and they used to have to clean it all out to make the hog's pudding.
Yeah.
And
Corey used to be lovely.
Used to be lovely hog's pudding she used to make.
Of course.
She had the meat, and she used to let my mum have what they called sweet bread, I think it was called. And we used to have that for a meal, you know. It used to be lovely. And she used to make the black hog's pudding and everything.
Yeah.
And there used to be a woman in Clifford Street, Reg Peters's mother. She used to make hog's pudding. And she used to have the pig's belly outside, because, of course, it was outside sinks in those days, you know, taps and everything.
I mean, for big pigs, even in like the early day.
Clean all this stuff out in the sink, outside of the
I mean, everything was eaten really on the pigs.
And the pig,
everything,
all
the heads. I mean, all the heads, the brains, and all that used to be good.
I used to make brawn. I used to make the pig's head.
What's brawn?
Just
well, you boil the pig's head, and then you mince it all up.
All the
and you
boil the meat off the pig's head,
and then you put it in a basin or a dish, and it makes. And I used to put
really
it
lovely.
In
it used to be really, really lovely. I tell you.
Can't you buy brawn in the shops now? No.
No. You don't see them.
I used to make them like in a basin.
Hmm.
Mince it all up, put the juice on the top, and hard boil an egg, and put the hard boiled egg in the middle. And then when it is set, you tip it out, and then you slice it down.
Oh, it sounds a bit like a Scotch egg, but different.
Oh, no, not Scotch eggs.
No.
No, because it's got the gravy and everything. It's beautiful. I don't bother to get it now because I don't think you can get the pig's head. I mean, you had the ears and the tongue and the brain and everything.
Oh, that was all gone. Tis honest. And they used to eat every bit of them. The only thing you couldn't eat was the actual feet. Pig's trotters, but then not the actual.
Yeah,
I mean, the toe,
that's right.
He had these toenails and that, like, you know, pig trotters, yeah.
But, I mean, when we first married and we went up the Elms, I mean, Well, it was the old Elms, as I say. We lived up there. And, I mean, we didn't have any fridges or anything. And, I mean, you buy your milk in the can or tip it into the jug and used to stand that in a bucket of cold water, you know, to keep it cold. And same with the butter. You had that and used to stand it in a dish and stand it in cold water.
So you've been married 55 years. What year did you get married in?
1944. We were married. 1944.
So wartime bride?
More or less.
Did you get married in Chudley?
Yes, over here. Over here. And my two daughters have.
Tell us about your wedding day.
Oh my God, I can hardly
remember. Mallet, wasn't it?
Stevens.
Oh yeah, of course. Mallet was a schoolboy.
Yeah.
When he was a schoolboy. That's right. Mallet was a vicar and a schoolboy.
Well, we had the reception down here. You know the Rosemont, as I told you, where the home is now. Well, Mad Shapley cleared out. It was her husband's workshop, really, but she cleared it all out, decorated it all up, to clean it all out, you know, for us to have our photos, our reception in there, and the photos, and the Reverend Stevens and his wife came, and we scrounged bits and pieces, because of course it was all...
During the war. How different is another thing I have to tell you.
And he saved up all these ration coupons. And Marshalls were very good. They let me have stuff. There was a lady down the road called Trout. She got me, well, I mean, they thought it was chicken, but anyway, it was rabbit. And did it. And we had that cold and she got us beetroot and all that sort of thing. And the people that I worked for over on top of Church Hill, I don't know what it's called now, but it's the big house opposite, you know, where the post office is.
Next side of the post office.
And then it was the next house. She made our wedding cake.
What happened about the wedding cake? I was in the Navy. I was in the Navy, and all the fruit and all that for the wedding cake was brought up from the Navy. And I was on special duty in there then, like, you know. So, of course, there was that word, see me out through the gates, like, so I shouldn't get caught. And there's just...
You're talking to a ready...
Yeah, I know. But there was... I was in the... I mean, this is too late now. This is years and years ago, this was. Well, yeah. I was on special duty in there, like, and they knew I was getting married, like. They said, right, we've got... You want a wedding cake, won't you? Yeah, I said, yeah. They said, right, we'll get you fixed up. And I had everything for the wedding cake... With the big and a bottle of rum as well. And then this lovely.
All the rum didn't go in the cake.
No, the rum didn't go in the cake, but till over the people with.
Miss Herb, she said, yeah. Oh, Muriel, she said, what a beautiful Christmas wedding cake, she said, and I'll keep some back for your Christmas cake. I said, oh, thank you very much, you know.
Yeah, just
but it was a lovely. Well, I mean, we got photos of it upstairs.
It was really a good cake, wasn't it?
Where did you get your dress?
That's another story.
What?
My dress. Oh. Rose Shinner made it for me. They lived in New Exeter Street then, because they finished over the Conservative Club. But there used to be an old lady that lived in the retreat down here, where Crockett lives now. Her and her companion, well, house companion or whatever they like to call her, was very friendly with my mother years ago. So when Bertha knew that I was going to get married, she said, well, Muriel, what are you going to do about a wedding dress? So I said, well, I don't know. I'll have to wear something that I've already got. So she said, well, Miss Langley's never used any of her clothing coupons. So, of course, she brought me in a book of clothing coupons. I was in Austin's quick.
Austin's?
Austin's at Newton Abbott. They were in there then, but it was Charlie Austin, the old man. And bought white silk, it was. It was like a raised silk pattern on the wedding dress. Borrowed my veil, but I managed to buy a headdress. And borrowed the shoes, and then another person borrowed it off me, and that's how it went round. This one, we went into Newton one day, didn't we? And there were, we saw a gold wedding ring in the window, because of course we couldn't get them then. And we went into the shop, and she said, well, that's the last two I've got. So we said, well, we better have it then. So we bought the wedding ring. Well, what, 2-3 months beforehand, wasn't it? So I came home, told Mrs. Trout, I said, if Arthur wants to buy Anne a gold wedding ring, he better get into Newton quick, because they've got one gold one left. And Anne only said to me the other day, I don't know if you've seen Anne Trout, no? Well, she said, look, Muriel, I said, yeah, and mine. We still got them. But then we went... It was Sam Payne, wasn't it? With the taxi.
Yeah.
He took us up to Exeter to catch a train, because we went down to Launceston, down to my cousin's, or just outside of Launceston, for our honeymoon. Because they kept a farm. And the first blooming night... Do you know what he did? My cousin said to him, oh, I got to go out and see if there's any rabbits. He clears off out, collecting rabbits out of the traps till about 1 o'clock in the morning.
I don't think we ought to be recording this.
Oh, dear.
So, you go and see you. How did Chudley change in the war? Can you remember that?
Yeah, I can remember all right. Because when I left over Miss Herbst's, I've worked in Martin's, the baker's. I can't go into it all. We used to have the soldiers used to come in for their break. And it was a cup of tea and a rock cake for tuppence halfpenny. That's in old, you know, the old money. And they used to come trooping in there, and Pat Martin, do you know Vivian? You don't know Vivian that lives up over the quad? Oh. Well, it used to be her, I used to work with her mother, which was the daughter of Martin's, like, you know. And we used to have dances. The troops used to have dances.
Where was this?
In the town hall down here. They used to scrub out the town hall because, of course, the troops had that as their dining hall. And Harry Keats, that lives at the top of New Exeter Street, he was one of the cooks down there. And because they had, like, the cookhouse outside in the yard, well, where that cider press thing is now, they had their cookhouse out there. And then they used to, they said, oh, well, there's an officer's dance down at Pitt. So we used to have them, they used to organise the major's car for us to come up and pick us up. And there used to be a crowd of us girls go down there to the dances. And it was really good fun, you know. It really livened up Chudley too, because it was getting a bit dull with all the boys away and everything, you know. And then they had, and then the troops came in. There was, everywhere was taken over. I mean, even the Elms, the old Elms, before we went up there, the troops.
Yanks used to do it.
And
yeah.
The troops had Bay Cottage down here, and in behind Gill's fruit shop used to be the Liberal Club, and used to be troops in there. Well, they never got it back, did they? And then there was the King's Arms, the pub in Clifford Street. What was the King's Arms? Well, you see, there were troops down there. There were troops. Well, then all the officers were put out into the big houses. And then there...
Why were they all stationed here?
We had the first lot here that came back Oxford and Bucks came here first. They were the ones that came back, you know, when they had to evacuate Dunkirk. And they came here then. And then they went. Well, then we had the... what did they call them? The Medical Corps. They were here. And then after the Medical Corps went, we had the artillery here. Well, it was the artillery that were here most.
Mm.
They went and they had all their limbers and guns and things all lined up in Colway Lane. Of course, there were no houses. The bungalows were there, but not the houses. I mean, those houses were built after the war. And they had all the limbers and everything, and same in Culver House. They had all the guns lined all down through there because they were stationed in there. It was everywhere, it seemed to be soldiers, you know.
Was it because it was near the railway, so they could get up easily? I was just wondering why Chudley had all these troops.
Well, I don't know. They seemed to come, I mean, we had troops right up to the... Because after they went, after the artillery went, we had the Americans here.
GIs?
Huh?
GIs?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's two or three of them married. Two or three girls here in Chudley married to
Americans. GIs. Yeah. Went out to America, didn't
they? Yeah. Well, I mean, they were stationed all out on the heath as well. Knighton Heath.
Mm.
And that's when he wouldn't let me go to work because they were stationed out there and I was supposed to be going out to the hospital to work, you see. And you're not going out there, he said, because it would have meant cycling out over the heath. And, of course, there was all the darkies and that out on the heath because they had a bad reputation in those days. But...
So what work were you doing at the hospital?
I didn't go.
Oh, you just didn't
go? No. I got pregnant instead, so I didn't have to go. So that was the end of that. But I was let off for a time because working at Martin's, I used to help out in the bakehouse as well. And I used to go out there and help do some of the cakes and different things, you know. And then, of course, when the troops used to come in, you know, we used to serve them with our cakes and tea and all that sort of thing. Yeah. There was really more then going on in Chudley than what there is now, even before the troops or anything like that, you know. I mean, now you must admit it's more or less dead, isn't it? I mean,
30. Well, I joined the Navy in 1934, so I mean, as I say, after that, I don't know much about Chudley, like not actually what was going on then.
No, I mean, give me the old Chudley as it was to what it is today.
Well, that's absolutely smashing. It's been really, really helpful. And I'd like to say thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Do you want a cup of tea after all that?
I think we better have that on tape. Yes, please. Right, we're just putting an addendum on this tape. Right. Tell us again about the Chudley...
Chudley Wheelers. Chudley Wheelers, we started all, must have been made about 1920, it must have been about 26, we'll say 26. And we used to have time trial runs. They used to do 10 miles, 20 miles, or 10 miles, which was into Newton and back, from the station into Newton and back. And then it'd be a 50 mile, be once from the station down to Torquay, Tor station, turn around, come back, then from Torquay, and then back from Chudley station out to the roundabout at Eastfield would be, that's right, Eastfield, and back, and then up the valley, right up to Steps Bridge, and back, and do that twice.
You have to be fit to do that.
That would be the 50. I think it would be the 50, and then the 100 would be twice the time again.
And you've got a photograph here. Of the
there is a photo. Yeah.
So can you go from left to right? Who's on this photograph?
Oh,
go on.
Oh, that was.
That was Colonel Frost.
Colonel Frost, that's right.
Sammy Davis.
Hilda Paulson, Jim Wiggum, myself, Stan Bailey. Oh, no, wait a minute, that was me. That must have been. That was my. Was that? Oh, that was Dick, sorry.
Dick's over
then,
here.
That's right, and then.
Dick's over there. That's.
Who was that?
Bailey, one of the Baileys, was wasn't it? There?
Hang on, let's go from left to right again.
In the van.
Starting again.
Yeah, right on.
Now then. Colonel Frost.
Yeah.
Sammy Davis.
Yeah.
Hilda Posner.
Yeah.
Withycombe.
Yeah.
And you say that's you.
No, this is me here.
So that's Bailey.
Yeah. There's Bailey in the back.
Yeah, that's Stan Bailey, but yeah, that was the other one.
Must been, yeah.
That's you.
Yeah.
That's
Kitch Cornish. Well, there's a bloke from Newton Abbott. I can't
see
his
name.
Oh, yeah,
none of us know his name.
No,
he's the one from Newton Abbott. He knew all of them. That's Harry.
Yeah.
And that was...
This is the last one on the end.
Yeah. Oh, he was... what was he called? Milman.
Milman, oh, yes, that's right.
So, Milman. Which one are you again?
Yeah.
That one there. So yeah. You're one, two, three, four in from the right.
One, two, three, four, five. That's Kitchen behind.
Yeah.
Right, so you are five in from the right.
Right.
Smashing. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Right. That was poor old Hilda Poslin. That was our people that kept the paper shop.
The paper shop before.
Then, and of course, Jim Wiggum is the one that... What did he... He was a butcher, wasn't he?
Yeah.